Luke chapter number 4, look with us in verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." I want you to take notice this morning in verse number 22. They wondered at the gracious words. But I want you to look what happens in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, 'You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, and to a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." Isn't it amazing? In 6 verses, they wondered at his gracious words, and 6 verses later, they're filled with wrath. Isn't it amazing how people can be your best friend, and a few minutes they're stabbing you in the back? Isn't it amazing that they can be the wondrous crowd that you've ever had, but in the next minute they're yelling, "Crucify him"? Can I say this to you this morning? Be careful who your friends are. And be careful who you trust in your inner circle. Because I promise you this, what you confide can be something they can kill you with. What you express to them will be something they turn on you. And I want you to notice what Jesus does in verse number 28. The Bible says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these sayings, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the throw of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." I mean, we've got wondrous words. We've got casting him out. We've got all of a sudden they're amazed again. Let's pray. Amen. I appreciate you being here this morning. I know we've read 16 different verses, and we've looked at Jesus coming into Nazareth. And we understand that Nazareth, where Jesus was born and raised. We understand that that's where Jesus has spent his childhood. And I noticed something in this morning, but I want you to pay attention to what happens. In verse number 16, he comes into Nazareth. And I'll say this, there was something that Jesus had done simply out of tradition. He had went to church on the Sabbath. The Bible teaches that as his custom was, that he went to the synagogue. Can I say to you this morning, there are people all over the United States this morning that are meeting in the church house because that's simply how they've been raised. That's simply how they've been taught. That's simply what they know they're supposed to do. That's something that has been instilled in them. And they are going to church simply because of tradition. Jesus went into the synagogue, and the Bible teaches us that he stood up to read, and it was delivered in him the prophet Isaiah. This is the old text, and Jesus is taking the old text, and he is beginning to expound upon it. During this time, the New Testament had yet to be written. So we know that Jesus is simply using the Old Testament prophets, speaking of the coming of Christ. What amazed me throughout history, if you study through the Old Testament, every book in the Old Testament, the Old Testament Testament prophets are pointing that Jesus is coming. They are pointing that he is coming soon. And the Jews were so blind that they could not see that Christ was coming. They could not see that he was before their eyes. They could not see, Brother Robert, the one that Isaiah talked about, the one that Ezekiel talked about, the one that Daniel talked about. They could not see with their own eyes that Jesus was before them. They delivered unto him the book of Isaiah to read, and Jesus had begun to read out of what we know, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1. And we understand that Isaiah the prophet was talking about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. Can I say this to you this morning? I'm thankful that God has appointed me to preach, and I'm thankful that God's Spirit abides upon me and deep within my soul. I'm thankful this morning that God has given me instruction what to preach. Can I say this to you this morning? At the church house, listen to me, the church house is not a place that we gather to talk about how good we are. The church house is not a place that we gather to talk about how bad somebody else is. The church house is not a place for us to come in and discuss matters with everybody else. Now, understand, listen to me, that we need to pray for those in sin. And we need to pray for those that are facing medical conditions. And we need to pray for those that are in need this morning. But like I say to you this morning, at the synagogue much during this time was a place where men came in and boasted how good they are. If you'll go back to the book of Matthew and read about the hypocrite prayer and him standing up down there, and Jesus is beginning to teach the disciples how to pray. And the one stands up and he begins to pray that, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not as he is. Can I say this to you this morning? You and I are all one decision away from being out of the will of God. You and I are one decision away from becoming a drug addict. You and I are one decision from ruining our marriage. You say, oh, preacher, I'm not in that place. Let me say this to you. Be careful this morning. The devil will paint you a picture. He'll paint a sin that's so pretty that you cannot resist, that will drag you back to the pits of hell in this life. And might I say to you this morning, Jesus was in this place. He was in a place of his home country. Might I say to you this morning, let's put it in Baptist terms. He had went back to the place where he would surrender to the call to preach. And he began to preach, and he began to read this scripture. And I don't know exactly what the Jewish custom was in the synagogue at that time. I'll say this to you. You can go to 100 fundamental Baptist churches, and every church will do something different. You can go to the Southern Baptist. The Southern Baptist service is done different. You can go to Ronda Baptist Tabernacle, and it's going to be different than the way it is at Maple Springs. And you can go to Maple Springs, and it's going to be different than it was down at Thanks to Calvary. You can go to Thanks to Calvary, and it'll be different than the way it is at Elkin Valley, and so on and so forth. And you say, well, preacher, why is that? Because I'll say this, we've got too much man in the church and not enough God. Amen. Because man has inputted the way he thinks service ought to go. Man has developed how services go. You ever been to a church and it says on the back door, enter to worship and depart to serve? How often do we truly do that? I mean, let's be as honest as we can. How often, Brother Robert, do we truly do what we say we come to do? And so Jesus had came into the synagogue and he began to teach. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 22 that they wondered at the gracious words. Boy, they were amazed. And they began to look at each other and they said, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Mary's little Jesus? I mean, listen at the words that are coming out of his mouth. And all of a sudden, he begins to teach and preach. In six verses, he done turned the whole outfit against him. You say, why is that? Can I say this to you this morning? If you want people really to dislike you, tell them the truth. Let's be honest. And I'll be careful how I say this. How many of you men are smart enough to look at your wife and tell her she's gained a bunch of weight? How do you think that's going in for you? How many of you men would look at your wife and say, well, that looks terrible? Amen. How many of you women would look at your men and You want to get a fight started, tell them they go hunting or fishing too much. I mean, there are certain areas we know not to go on. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Can I say this to you? Sometimes people get mad at church because the truth's preached to them. He didn't take anything out of context. He didn't take anything out of the Word that wasn't there. He just simply presented them to the Word and told them about Elias the prophet. He told them about him going to a country and a widow feeding him. And we know that story about Elijah the prophet. We know the story about the leper Naaman being healed. But can I say this to you? He gave them Bible and they got mad. You know what's amazing to me, and it's happened here, is sometimes you can preach or teach something and not have a clue what somebody's doing, but buddy, you make them mad. And they're ready to throw you out on your head. That's where that phrase came from. The Bible teaches us they took him out to the hill of the city and they were going to throw him headlong, Daddy. They were going to pitch him out on his head down through that hill and tell him not to ever come back. Can I say this to you? I know some good Baptist churches that have run off good preachers because they preach the truth. It's sad. You know, we're living in that day where they're having itching ears, heaping to themselves teachers. They're teaching what they want to hear. The Bible teaches us that Jesus basically just dropped the plow and plowed right down the tater row. He taught them about Elijah. And the Bible says that he rose up and he got out and he left. He went to Capernaum. And I don't know if it was a week later, they were back in the synagogue. But I want you to know this, that when he got to Capernaum, they were astonished at his doctrine. So he went from everybody liking him, everybody hating him, to everybody liking him. I truly believe this is why the Baptist church is where it's at today. Bear with me just a few minutes. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to be honest. How many of us have been to a place to where we say, God, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, I'll be faithful to church. God, I'll be faithful to work in the church. God, I'll be faithful to every service. God, I'll be there on Wednesday nights. God, I'll do this. God, I'll do that. And then 6 to 10 months down the road, you're back out where you was at. You ain't got time for God. You're too busy. You've got everything else going on. You've not got time for Him. And then something else comes on, and the next thing you know, another 16 months, you're back in the house of God wanting to worship again. Y'all all right? Can I say this to you this morning? We are just like they are. We accept Him when He's doing something good for us. We accept Him when He's blessing us. We accept Him when it's what we want. But when it comes time for the truth, we don't want Him. Can I say this to you this morning? How many of you would say your life's been a roller coaster? You don't have to tell me. One spiritual high to the next spiritual high, and it's constantly you're on this hill and you're going down, and you're on this hill and you're going down, and you're on this hill and you're going down, and you're on this hill and you're going down, and it's just up and down. Can I say this to you? Whether I'm in a storm or whether I'm on the mountain, God's still good. Amen. I'm not going to beg Him when I'm in the valley. Oh, it may be strong, but I truly believe God's still blessing. But Brother O'Dean, I'll not turn my back on Him when I'm in the valley. And I'll not give though my hands to the wind and my cares to the wind because something ain't went my way. I'll stay faithful with Him when the storms is raging. I'll stay faithful with Him when I'm on the mountaintop shouting her out. Hey, honey, I'm telling you, God ain't never done nothing bad. And He's worth serving day in and day out. And He's worth being faithful to when the storm is raging and when the sun is shining. Honey, I'm telling you need Him in your life every day. There is no sense in going back and forth on our promises to God. I want you to notice what happened. He read out of Elias. They enjoyed that. He gives them food for thought. They disagreed with that. They throw Him out, but He goes to Capernaum. And I want you to notice what they noticed in Capernaum. His words were gracious in Nazareth. But in Capernaum, they had power. Did you notice that? they were different ones that picked up on the power. The ones of Nazareth couldn't understand the power of the gospel. Can I say this to you this morning and moving forward? Not only was His word sweet, not only, Daddy, I believe it's in Revelation, they talk about eating the book. And it was sweet, but then it was bitter. Can I honestly say this to you? Sometimes it goes down easy, but it's hard to digest. And the Bible teaches us that, Brother Robert, He was giving them Scripture. But at the end of the Scripture, Thomas, He gave them a lesson. I want you to notice what He taught them. Out of Isaiah, if you was to turn to Isaiah chapter 61, you'll see that there is some difference in the text. Now, the atheist would tell you that in the Bible there are errors because Luke chapter 4 does not match word for word identically what Isaiah 61 teaches. And you pray for us this morning. But in Luke chapter 4, you'll notice some difference. You'll notice that Jesus had the understanding, as Isaiah the prophet wrote this, that this was not necessarily on Isaiah, but yet the prophecy of Christ. If you notice in Luke chapter number 4, and you've got a red letter edition Bible, that the letters of Christ are in red, you'll notice that these words are in red. They're not in black as Jesus was reading, but yet these are His actual words. Now look with me in Isaiah chapter 61 for just a moment. I want you to notice what the Bible teaches there. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn," thank you, "to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Now I want you to notice again what Christ says. Christ says this in Luke chapter number 4. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, you'll not see that in Isaiah chapter 61, but you will see that Jesus is taking what Isaiah wrote and applying it to Himself. Can I say this to you this morning? If there's ever been a calling on a preacher's life, it's out of Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1, and it's out of Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. The Bible says that He was to preach the gospel to the poor. What is the poor? Now, some of you would say, "Well, preacher, that's financial." Can I say this to you this morning? Me and my wife did not know we were poor, Miss Holly, till the first year we got our taxes done. I did not know we're the line of poverty. Jason, I didn't know that. I mean, we had everything we wanted. We had a house, we had TV, we had satellite, we had all the bills paid. Eric, we had the refrigerator full. I had my truck, we had her car, and we had everything we wanted. And Miss Michelle, we eat anything we wanted. We went out to eat. But when we got our taxes done, Brother Jason, they told us we were in poverty. I didn't know that. I mean, we were living pretty good. Robert's there thinking, "Well, if he was in poverty, man, I'm way bad." You know, that's the way our society measures it. They measure your status in your life by how much money you have. They draw a line. Now, I will say this. They are some families. Listen to me. They are some families that need a little assistance, food stamps and WIC. But what bothers me is those who are living high and going and doing this and taking vacations and they're going out to eat and they're having big parties, but yet then they're going and getting food stamps, but they're living the high life. That bothers me. That's not right. Now, I don't do that. I told my wife, we were discussing that and talking about that at some point in time, and I told her, Brother Joel, I said, "Hey, baby, all right, But I told her, I said, listen, I said, I've got too much pride in me to go and do that. I said, if I have to pick up another shift when this one came along, go see Mama. I said, if I have to pick up another shift or I have to work somewhere else, I said, there's too much pride within me to do that. And might I say to you this morning, our status quo would be based off what your salary is. That's not what Christ is talking about. Can I put it to you like this? Some of the wealthiest people in life are those who are really poor. There are those who have billions of dollars and millions of dollars, but really are who are the poor. You see, Brother Robert, Jesus was talking about those who are poor in spirit. He was talking about those who had no hope. He was talking about those, Dad, that didn't have anything on the other side. Listen to me, what I have here really does not matter. Everything I have here is truly temporal. That truck I have is temporal. The car I have is temporal. Hannah's car that she has is temporal. You see, we're just borrowing it for a little while, Brother Bill. The house that I have that I'm working to own. The house that I've agreed for the next 23 years of my life that I'm going to own it one day, Brother Joel. I'm really not even going to own it. I mean, everything, the clothes that I have, are really temporal. Somebody was speaking with me about this suit, and I said, what you don't realize? I said, I've had this suit since 2007. The pants have expanded enough now that I could get back in them. I'm about to get there to where I'm buttoning it back, too. But you know what? This suit is just temporal. I mean, if something happened to me and God called me home, that all that's staying right here. Whatever's in my bank accounts and on my 401k, Brother Bill, is staying right here. It'll be something for my wife to figure out what to do with. It'd be something for my daughter and my mom and dad, something to do with it. I guarantee you, listen to me, all the guns I bought, and I told a boy at work, he said, if something ever happens to you, I'm going to go to Anna and tell Anna that Josh wanted me to have all that. And I said, I will come back and shoot you with them. But all the guns that I have, I'm not taking them with me. There's going to be something for her to figure out. And I encourage her, if something was to happen, to go get Daddy or Daniel Morrison, the only ones that have the combination of my safes, and that way they know what to do with them and not to get rid of them. You say, not to get rid of them? Yes, please. God, if she only knew what I paid, she just thinks she knows. And if she sells them for what she thinks that I paid for them, we in bad shape. No, I'm teasing. That's an old saying. But you say, preacher, it's all temporal. It don't even matter. What really matters is whether I know Jesus is my Savior or not. And what really matters is whether I have a home on the other side or not. What really matters is what's on the other side. Because everything here, I could be the wealthiest man. I could have the most stuff. But inside, I would be poor. Can I say this to you this morning? There are some of you here this morning are truly poor. Can I say not only did He come to the poor, but He also come to those who are brokenhearted. Well, preacher, I'm not brokenhearted. I imagine something this week hadn't went your way. Amen. I imagine, Brother Kenny, something this week has weighed heavy on you. I imagine some of you this morning, you're in a place that you don't understand why. You're in a place that you can't give a reason where you're at. You're in a place to where you're distraught and your life is a mess. Can I say this to you this morning? There's some grandmas here that are brokenhearted what grandbabies are doing. There's some mamas here that are brokenhearted on what their children are doing. There's some husbands here that are brokenhearted on what's going on with their wife. And there's some wives here that are brokenhearted, what's going on with their husband? Can I say this to you this morning? The thing about a broken heart, and we often pick about this, But can I say, some people you would never see it. Some people you would never know are facing a battle, Miss Maria. Some people, Brother Bill, you would never know they're in a fight for their life. You know how I know that? Because there's times when I come out on Wednesday night and I put the tie on, and Sunday mornings, Brother Robert, when I put the coat on, and I really don't feel like preaching to the poor, and I don't really feel like preaching to the brokenhearted, and I don't really feel like preaching deliverance to those who are captive, because myself am poor in spirit, and myself will be brokenhearted. But what we do, we put the clothes on, had to cover up our wickedness, and we put the clothes on, had to cover up our brokenheartedness, and we come into the house of God acting like everything is going glorious. And we don't want anybody to know what's going on in here. I guarantee you, some of you here are worried about something. Some of you are distraught about something. And can I say this to you? Jesus came for those who are brokenhearted. Not only did He come to those who are brokenhearted, but He came to those to preach deliverance to the captives. He also came and given recovering sight to the blind. And He also came to set liberty to them who are bruised. How many of you have ever had a bad bruise? Anybody? I mean, it just turns purple and green. And oh, it hurts. How many of you ever had a joint that hurts really bad? Your knee? Your ankle? Miss Evelyn's like, yes. It's me, preacher. I mean, what she's went through, and what amazes me is when I went and seen her the other week and I talked to Brother Bill on the phone, he said, "Preacher, her neck's not hurting her. It's where they sutured her up." That amazed me. I know what I'd be doing. I'd be hollering, "Dear God, help me." Some of you this morning have rolled your ankle or twisted a knee or you've jammed a finger. Miss Little Lana back there, bless her heart. Some of you have had problems. You've hit something or something's bruised you and it hurts. Can I say this to you this morning? Spiritually, there are things that gives us setbacks. You ever heard somebody say this phrase? "Preacher, you don't know what they done to me at church. You just don't know how ugly they were to me at church." I'm going to tell you something. I know how ugly they were. I know how mean they were. "Preacher, you don't know such thing. Brother Robert, you don't know how they treated me and my family. You don't know. You don't even know the halfness of those wickedness at church." Oh, but I do. You see, at least they didn't drag you out and try to throw you head down a hill. Maybe they didn't shake your hand. Maybe they didn't talk to you. Maybe they didn't make you feel right. But if they was willing to throw Jesus out, I believe I know what they done to you. They talked about Him. How do you know that, preacher? Because every time He come through, there was great talk about the fame. They spoke about this man named Jesus. And the Bible teaches us they were going to throw Him out. So what are you saying, preacher? Can I say this to you this morning? He came to get you over your bitterness. You would be surprised this morning at people that are bitter in Baptist churches because of what somebody did to them. Because of what somebody might have said to them. Because of what somebody might have happened to them. I was driving down 77 the other morning. Now, I'm going to run this rabbit for just a minute. And I was going down 77 and it was a line of traffic. And I don't know what it is about tractor and trailers, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, they want to run 50 mile an hour on 77. But at 3:30 in the afternoon, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, or 10 o'clock at night, they want to run 75 and 80 and try to run over you. I don't understand. It ain't my place to understand. Maybe they're just waking up. I don't know. But we were in a line of traffic, and no doubt we were running 50 and 55 mile an hour. And we were trying to pass. And what happens? I don't know if they get side by side and they talk to see who can be the slowest. I don't know how that works. But it was like we got down to 45 mile an hour. And what happened? There was a Toyota Camry in front of me, and he was trying, Brother Jason, he was going back and forth. He was going to find a way to get around them. And what happened, that one sped up. And when that one sped up, he got over. The other one got in front of him. And I thought, man, this ain't good. I know what's happening. I got to watching, and the dude in the Camry was blinking his lights, and I cracked my window, and Kenny, he was blowing the horn. Now, I'm setting the scene. Heather, Rusty was running 90 mile an hour come up behind me. No, he didn't. Joe, I was going down through there, and finally they get over. And I mean, we have fallen from like 67 almost to the 421 exit, and this going on. And I watched that dude, the tractor and trailer, blinked his lights, and the other one got over. And that dude in the Camry decided he was going to roll back his sunroom or sunglass or moonroof, whatever you want to call it, and he told them they were number one. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I bet, now I'm going to say this, in all honesty, Jason, I bet that one trucker didn't holler at the other trucker and said, can you believe what he done to me? I ain't never driving again. Can you believe the awfulness he done? I'm just going to park this truck and I'm getting out and I ain't never driving again. You can go to Walmart and take a buggy and run slap up the shins of a gentleman, and they might have some words, but they don't walk out to the car and say, I just ain't never going to Walmart again. You can go on Black Friday and get in a fight over a game or a TV, and somebody punch you in the mouth and you don't say, I'm not going back. The next year, you're right there. The next weekend, you're back in Walmart. What amazes me is somebody will say one cross word to somebody in church, and the first thing we do, we say, they've hurt me so bad, I just ain't going back there. God help us. You say, preacher, why is that? That's a bruise. That's a place or a hurt. There are some that are hung up on what happened years ago that they don't have freedom today. Christ came so that you can be free. And might I say to you, He came that He can give you liberty and to get beyond the bitterness, to get beyond the hurt in your life, to continue on in fellowship.
You're right. Preach it.
Can I say this to you this morning? We need to really weigh where we're at. I'm done with this one. He came to preach deliverance to the captive. Can I say this to you this morning? There are those who are lost that sin has got a hold of them this morning. That has got you bound down to a place to where you're miserable. To a place that you don't want to be around nobody. To a state of depression. And you think there's no hope for me. I've even heard people say, how could God save me? I want to ask the question back, why did God save me? I had nothing to offer, have nothing to give. But Brother Robert, somewhere deep in the cosmos, God seen what I could be. God seen some potential in my life of what might be. There are some of you this morning that thinks that God can't use you. That God can't work in your life. That God can't do anything in you. That you're at a place that God has set a limit that you can't go forward. Might I say to you this morning, I'm glad that God can break the chains of sin and the bounds and the fetters that the devil has. Can I say to you this morning, I'm glad I serve a God that in the middle of the night, being locked in prison, that Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns, that in the middle of the night, that He opened the gates to the prison and set the captive free. Can I say this to you this morning? He's still a saving God. He's still a healing God. We started this morning in the book of Psalms when we opened up Sunday school talking about who He was and being a very present help in this trouble at this time. And we was talking about who He was and that He's a God that's able. And can I say this to you this morning? If you are bound by sin, He can give you a new birth and birth you into the family of God and create a new creature in you. Preacher, how does he do it? I have no idea. I'm kind of like Nicodemus. How can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? Dad, I don't know how Christ can take the vilest sinner and do something spiritually on the inside that changes the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they think, and the way they move. I cannot understand. It's something that I cannot see, Brother Kenny, that goes on the spiritual realm of things, that God can reach down further than man can reach up. And I cannot explain how He takes that blood and washes us to a whiter than snow. I cannot explain that, but what I can tell you is He can, He will, and He's able to do all exceeding above what we all ask. Can I say to you this morning, not only can He set those who are bound by sin and dying and going to hell free, but He can also reclaim the backslidden. Those who once walked with Him that have walked afar off. Those who once was in church and living right. Those, can I say this to you, why do you reckon David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Dad, why do you reckon he said that? He said restore, which means at one point it had. Now I've got a bottle of water and I think, Dad, I'm going to drink that thing here in a minute. But if I drink all that water out of that bottle, Brother Odine, it's going to be empty. Right here, right now, I can't put anything back in it. I don't have any water right here around me. But what's amazing, Robert, is I can take that empty bottle and I can go right out there to the water fountain and I can push the button at the water fountain and stick my bottle under it and I can fill her up again. Then I can do this. I can take it back in there to my refrigerator in my office and I can set it back in there and I can restore it back to what it was when you got it out. But you know what I have to do? Before I restore it, I have to empty it. Before I can fill it back up, I have to get what's in it out. I mean, it's a designated water bottle. If you're here this morning, you've been saved. You're designated a saved person. You're a shell of what it's supposed to be, but you're filled with the sin of this world. Say, preacher, what do I have to do? You have to empty it out. Listen to me. And take it to God and let God fill it back up. You see, I can't physically put water, but I can take it to where it can. You say, what does that mean? Can I say to you this morning, that some of you could have joy of being saved again. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? If you're here this morning, preacher, how do I witness? You give hope to the poor. Listen to me. You tell how to help the brokenhearted. You give some scripture and encouragement. How do I set the captive free, deliver them, you tell them about Jesus. How do I help the brokenhearted? And how do I help those who are bruised? You tell them how to go back to glory. You tell them how to go back to Calvary. You tell them about how good God is. You tell them about how God can help them. And you tell them about what God can do. Preacher, I don't know what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 tells you what to do. Heads bowed and eyes closed as Miss Jody comes this morning.